Must be Easter. It's pretty full out there. Thank you for the music this morning and for those that prepared the breakfast for the youth and for the Landis family and for all those that did lots of work in preparation for this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you today and on this most special of days, in which the culmination of your plan that you set in place from the very beginning of time came to fruition. The gift of your own Son, Jesus Christ, not only that he died on the cross, but most importantly that he raised on the third day. And Lord, we come before you today acknowledging that in many ways we are like those original disciples who can't even grasp the significance of it all, of just how much you love us and care for us, and what great lengths you have gone to save us and to redeem us and to make us your children. Lord, may the words that I speak this morning be your words. May you open up our ears and our eyes and our hearts to hear whatever it is that you have to say to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, for those of you that were at the sunrise service, we left off with the Gospel of John and the story of Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene just outside the empty tomb. Mary was distraught. Not only had her Lord, the one whom she thought was going to save the world, not only was he crucified on Friday afternoon, now she had discovered that someone had come and stolen his body. The body of the one whom she had come to love and the body of the one whom she came to give the proper burial to. Then Jesus appeared to her, though at first she didn't recognize him. Boy, was Mary surprised. Mary ran and she told the other disciples, "I've seen the Lord." I wonder what they were really thinking. Even though Jesus had been with them for 3 years and he had told them now many times that he was going to have to die on the cross and that he would be raised again on the third day, they seemed to be clueless. Some of you may be familiar with the movie several years ago entitled Sleepless in Seattle. Well, Jesus' disciples were clueless in Jerusalem. Many of them were probably sleepless as well, out of fear. And it's kind of ironic that today, Easter Sunday, would fall this year on April 1st, the day that many of us refer to as April Fool's Day. Think about it. This was the ultimate April Fool's Day for both those that had been for Jesus and those that had been against Jesus. It took quite a while for Jesus' disciples to even begin to realize what was going on here. Jesus started appearing to many of them at different times and in different ways. Over the course of weeks, it would be some 50 days between when Jesus rose from the dead on the third day and he ascended back into heaven and finally sent his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then the disciples finally got it. Literally, they got it. Without the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven and working in their lives, they would have never gotten. None of us can get it today without the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And just like those early disciples, for most of us, it takes time. But when Jesus' disciples finally did get it, they began to preach. They couldn't help but preach. This is from the book of Acts, chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day, and he caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, and everyone who believes him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The Apostle Paul, who the risen Jesus appeared on the road to Damascus, he too began to preach. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, that which we looked at several weeks ago, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The title of my message this morning is from that passage in Romans chapter 5, the much more of our salvation. Just like Jesus' first disciples immediately following his resurrection, we often fail to grasp the magnitude and the immensity of his resurrection on our lives today. I asked the question at the sunrise service, if someone were to come up to you and ask you what Easter was all about, what would you say it was? Or maybe a little bit of a different angle, what has Jesus done for you? And most would probably say something like, well, Jesus died for me on the cross so God could forgive my sins, which is indeed true. That's part of the gospel message, the good news, but it isn't all of it. Paul tells us that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because of Jesus' dying on the cross, he has taken upon himself the punishment of the sins of all people who put their faith in him. The beginning of that passage from Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, through the death of Jesus, we were reconciled to God. That is the ultimate meaning of reconciliation in the New Testament. The death of Jesus saves believers from the punishment of sin, and it restores us, or it reconciles us, back into a true and proper relationship with God. And because of that reconciliation, we are assured of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If that was the entire gospel message, then why isn't that the only passage, the only verse in the New Testament? Because that's only part of the gospel message. There is more to our salvation than reconciliation with God through Jesus' death on the cross. In fact, Paul tells us that in the same Romans chapter 5, verse 10 passage, when he says, there is much more. Not only are we saved by Jesus' death, we are also saved by Jesus' life. That is the much more of our salvation. Having been reconciled to God by Jesus' death, that's the day that I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that I am a sinner, and the only thing that I can do to cleanse myself from my sin is Jesus' precious blood, which he shed for me on the cross. For some of us, that's a specific day. For others of us, it takes time. By acknowledging my own sinfulness, confessing that Jesus is my Savior and Lord, it cleanses me from all my sins, past, present, and future, as long as I continue to recognize that I am still a sinner, and I confess those sins, and I work out my salvation in Christ. And as Paul says, even with some fear and trembling. That's half the gospel message. But God didn't give up his own son, and Jesus didn't give up his own life in one of the most horrific ways possible, just so we could be forgiven for our sins, and that we could have life in the life to come. The much more of our salvation means that we are being saved through his life for our life here today. If we're not living our life today through Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit whom God gives believers, then we are robbing Jesus of the power of his blood, which he shed on the cross. It is also what causes many people today to look at the church from the outside and say, there seems to be very little difference between the lives of believers and non-believers. Believers seem to have the same critical and judgmental attitude as non-believers. Believers seem to be engaged in all the different kinds of sexual immorality today as non-believers. And they seem to be just as angry, just as prideful, and just as violent. Why? Because we focus so much on the death of Jesus on the cross that brings eternal life in the life to come, when Jesus returns and fully establishes his kingdom here on earth, just as it is in heaven, that we often forget he calls us to live the life that he lived today. As Paul wrote in his letter to the early Christians in Colossae, since then you have been raised with Christ, then set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. If you are a Christian, then you have already been raised with Christ. You already have new life in Christ right here and right now. And Paul goes on, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. That's the life you lived before your Easter and the resurrection of Jesus in your life. You must also rid yourselves of such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. If you have been born again, meaning that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you have died to your old life. Jesus is no longer on the cross. For many Christians, especially Catholics, they wear the crucifix, the cross with Jesus still on it. But for Christians, the crucifix actually represents some pretty bad theology. Because for Christians, Jesus is no longer on the cross. The crucifix represents our dying to our old life. The empty cross, the empty tomb, represents our new life, in Christ. The crucifix, representing Jesus' dying on the cross, is symbolic of our salvation. The empty cross is symbolic of the much more of our salvation. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. And above all these virtues, put on love, which binds all the virtues together in perfect unity. I am told that there is a board game called Othello. Anybody here familiar with it? Figured the Stoltzfus family would have to be. I know absolutely nothing about the board game Othello. But I like the slogan of the Othello board game. This is the true test. Do you know what it is? Right on the front of the box. A minute to learn, a lifetime to master. A minute to learn, a lifetime to master. That slogan speaks just as much to our Christian spiritual journey here on earth. A minute to learn represents our salvation, our conversion experience, the time in which we were born again, the moment that we truly accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord over our lives. The lifetime to master is the much more of our salvation. I have never had much patience with board games. I have even less today. In fact, I have no patience with board games. I have no patience with jigsaw puzzles. And I'm even starting to lose patience with sports. Why? Because I realize that as I am getting older, that I only have so many years left to live my life here in Christ, here on earth, and to master the life that Jesus has called me to live, the much more of my salvation. You see, Easter is about both our salvation and about the much more of our salvation. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. I'm currently reading a good book entitled Reunion, The Good News of Jesus Christ for Seekers, Saints, and Sinners, by a man by the name of Bruxy Cavey, who pastors a very large church, an Anabaptist congregation outside of Toronto, Canada. And he says that the gospel can actually be condensed into one or three or 30 words. The gospel in one word is Jesus. The gospel in three words is Jesus is Lord. And as Bruxy Cavey points out, Jesus really doesn't become our Savior until he becomes the Lord of our life. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And here's the full gospel message in 30 words. Jesus is God with us. Came to show us God's love, to save us from sin, to live out God's kingdom, so that we can share in God's life now and forever. Or as John, the other disciple, the one who's beloved by God, the one who ran faster than Peter, says in the book of Revelation, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.